Welcome to Bee's Table Talk, the podcast in which we have great conversations about business and our economy. And my name is Bee Kyle. I'm the president and CEO of the St. Paul Area Chamber, and I am so glad you've joined us. I very much enjoy these conversations. It's my opportunity to talk with leaders among us doing great things within the community and within their organizations. And today is very exciting. I'm going to introduce you all to a new friend and an entrepreneur extraordinaire. Her name is Nancy Corsa. I don't even remember how we got connected, Nancy, but I will tell you that only one person on earth can say that she went from cleaning Ozzy Osbourne's house to leading a grassroots revolution in Black entrepreneurship inside of 10 years. So Nancy's day job is at Wells Fargo, and on her quote unquote free time, Nancy has created a grassroots enterprise and network of Black businesses that is nothing short of extraordinary. And you've got to hear her story. So Nancy, thank you so much for visiting with me today.
Thanks so much for having me, Bee. I'm excited to be here.
Before we talk about the questions, let's just celebrate you and the Black Business Ball that we all attended. Was it 2 weeks ago now?
It's been 1 week.
1 week.
10 days.
How are you feeling? Are you joyfully exhausted after that wildly successful event?
Yeah, definitely exhausted, but just happy to be able to continue in the work that we've been doing. I'm just happy that people actually showed up to clap for Black-owned businesses. Yeah. That was a big deal.
Yeah, and I enjoyed the expo too. I met a few folks that hopefully I'll get a chance to do some business together with moving forward, which was the whole purpose, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And people have no idea how much it meant for those businesses, for people to show up, buy something from them. And even when they didn't buy, if they just got to say hello and see their brand, it is such a big deal. You know, this is community support and families. So I'm just so elated and happy that it happened and it went well.
Well, I'd like to introduce you to our listeners. Now, clearly you have this lovely accent, which tells folks that you are not native to Minnesota. You don't sound like you're even from the range. You sound like you are from another place. So tell us a little bit about you, because you've taken me by storm, and I would love for folks to know how you got here.
Absolutely. So I was born and raised in Italy. I was born in Napoli, south of Italy, and raised in the suburbs of Milan. My parents are originally from West Africa, Ghana, but, you know, all I know is Italy. So I always call myself an Afro-Italian, and now I'm proud American. We migrated here, immigrated here from Italy right before 9/11, and we've been here since. And I'm very proud to be here, but also definitely keep my culture and my roots intact. And, you know, my whole family speaks Italian, and we have very deep connections in Europe, but as well as Africa. And now we've built this new life in America, and we're just excited to be here.
Marvelous. Well, you know, so you all should know, Nancy and I have had some lovely one-on-one conversations, just getting to know one another. And I'm going to ask Nancy a question because it's come up in our conversations that I think is really worth sharing. So Nancy, you've talked about real decision points in your life that, you know, combined have changed your life and kind of clarified your desire to change the lives of other people. Can you share some of those?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I had some very pivotal moments that happened when I moved to America that made me really want to help people. But I think the biggest thing was, you know, at my current place of work, realizing that people could actually learn about finances and get better jobs and change their economic status, that was probably one of the biggest pushers for me to also help others. And the other, of course, is, you know, having racial incidents happen, and instead of, you know, letting that keep me down, making a very conscious decision to use that as a fuel and power to help me continue on my journey and get bigger and better every single year. And I think that that's one of the things that we need to learn, is just taking those moments and turning them into something powerful.
Well, you talk about a woman who came to your defense and she said, "You're my sister now." Say more about that.
Yeah. So, well, there's several things that happen, but there's one in particular where The same woman actually did not, you know, didn't had some racial bias, but instead of canceling the person, I was able to just take him out to dinner. And now she is indeed my sister. We'll be friends for life. And all it took was conversation. And that's what I think will heal our community as a whole, is just having conversation, no matter the view, no matter the background. It's okay to just say, hey, this is how I feel. Can you educate me on it? Or can we just agree to disagree and just be people and humans? Or can I educate you and see if we can come to a common ground? And that's what happened. And I've made so-called enemies, I've turned into allies and accomplices and best friends. And I think that it is extremely important for everyone to start looking at things that way, so that we can, you know, build a better Minnesota.
I will tell you what really captivated me when I first met you, which is one of the reasons I want to talk about your story, is that I just feel like you embody one of my absolute fundamental beliefs, is this idea of the power of one, that don't wait for the system to change. Don't wait for the powers that be to align or to create a path. You simply start with you and one other person, and you impact that person. And then you do it, you rinse and repeat, and you can change the world at a grassroots level, one person at a time, which, as I understand it, was the essence of the Black business enterprise. Can you, so share a little bit about your mindset there, and, you know, how and when and why that got started?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a big believer in that as well. And my favorite analogy, I would say, is I start with a little tiny puddle, then I go to the pond, and then I go to the lake, and so on and so forth. So I really started it out of need. So when I moved here, 9/11 happened. So all my immigration paperwork was at a standstill, and I could do nothing. I couldn't work. I didn't have a social, and I literally didn't exist in America. And it was really, really tough. So when I finally got my bearings, I, you know, business saved my life. I started cleaning houses, and I was able to pay for a lawyer to push things through, regardless of what was going on with the immigration and the delays. And it took a lot of work, grit, but also it took not taking no for an answer. And that's what Black Business Enterprises is. You know, every single weekend, the last 7 years, I've been fully dedicated to the community and taking one person at a time and saying, can I redo your resume? Can I sit with you and do this with you? And that's how it just got started, just really out of understanding my own need and what it took to get me out of poverty, and figuring out how to infect that to others. And all it was is just a helping hand, just someone saying, hey, let me educate you on something that you don't know. It's not money, it's not anything else, but someone being willing to share information. So that's how it got started, and now I'm infecting a whole new generation of leaders to do the same, you know, not information hoarding, but really sharing and sitting people down so that we can make, and I will say this till I'm blue in the face, make a better place and space for us. It has to take the collective to do that, not just, and it takes the individual getting together and doing that for the greater good.
So what platform did you use to bring people together? Once you went beyond the little bitty puddle and you're moving into at least a pond or even a lake, you had to have some kind of a platform to coordinate. How did you do that?
Facebook. So although, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with Facebook, but it started as a very, very innocent group, Black Business Minnesota, and then it turned into Black Business Atlanta, Black Business California, Chicago. We're in 48 states and 32 countries. And the reason why I was able to expand quicker than I really wanted to. I used to be a flight attendant, my job before banking. And I worked for Delta, and I was flying around meeting people. As you know, I'm a social butterfly. Mm-hmm. I speak 7 languages, so I don't believe in a stranger. So everywhere I went, people were like, well, can I join? I'm like, of course you can join. And then it turned into 3.6 million people total, all around the world. And it's such a staggering number, but that literally is a full reflection of who I am. I hoard friends, first of all, but but most importantly, I'm a big believer in there's no limits in who you can have in, you know, in your community, and that the whole world is my community. I just have to have a place for them to be together.
Right. And that's through Facebook. And what do you use the Facebook platform for? I mean, aside from the love-hate relationship of technology, you've got a place through which you organize and connect. And then what do you do?
Yeah. So we get business owners to share their businesses. So we coordinate it. So I'll give you a tiny example. We had a gentleman that had a lemonade brand that he wanted to get into Hy-Vee stores. And of course they said no, because he didn't have the funding. So I put a simple post in the group to call Hy-Vee stores for 5 days and see if we could get him in. He is now today in 2022 in 39 Hy-Vee stores. So what do I do with these groups? It's literally the power of the people. We share, we save business owners that are not doing as well. We'll take one day and support that one business owner. Mm-hmm. I've built the largest Black-owned directory in the entire U.S. There's 72,000 businesses on there. We also do Zooms, lots of Zooms, educational Zooms. Okay, share mistakes, what's going well with people. We really encourage members to go on there and talk about their business, what they're struggling on, what is it that their collective can do to help them. So it's really a free forum for people to just tap in and talk and ask questions and educate themselves. That's what the priority is for the group.
Nancy, that is, if that can be a message of encouragement for anyone who hears your stories, that I remember I had a job years and years ago, and I was frustrated with some policies, and I went to the boss and I said, here's a way I think you could better incent us so people like me can stay. And he actually said to me, you can't boil the ocean, B, you know, basically settle down, deal with it. And of course I couldn't and didn't, and went and did something else instead. But we're not trying to boil the ocean. We're not even wrestling with that issue, because clearly he was saying it's too big to change. And your point is, we don't have to worry about the big. We can deal with the small, because that's accessible. It's real. There's a human attached to it, and there's a need in the moment. We don't need to be afraid of having to solve the world's problems. We are more than capable, empowered, and ready to deal with a problem, because that's like manageable in our little brains, right? And then you've blown it up to be a 3 million plus network of folks similarly aligned. And I just, so exciting. Okay, so let's talk about then, with all these folks you communicate with, and I know I love the Zoom world. If you know me, you know I love the internet, because it teaches you and connects you. And now we've had to learn how to use these virtual platforms, which has brought us together, weirdly enough. So what are you hearing as the biggest needs and gaps for the Black business community moving forward?
And I can be 100% honest on your platform.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So the biggest thing, of course, is funding, but beyond funding is partnerships. As you know, a lot of movement is made when you know good people that can say your name in important rooms. Mm-hmm. So how do you build those relationships? However, if you cannot get the people that are decision makers in your space, hence mm-hmm. why I have the ball, hence why I have my weekend networking events, is to get people in power in those spaces, face to face, to tiny, small business owners, so that they can actually hear from them, you know, face to face. You know, I see a lot of organizations that say, yes, we are helping Black-owned businesses, but can you name 5 Black-owned businesses in Minneapolis? Can you say their name? Can you tell me how many kids they have? How they started? If you can't do that, you're not supporting the Black community. And that's mm-hmm. a fact. It's now, it's absolutely real.
Absolutely. I will tell you, this question was important for me, because I'm really wrestling with this myself, with a similar philosophy, which is it's harder because you have to be you, and you have to invest pieces of you into this other person or this business. And sometimes the universe is so overwhelming that you just don't do anything. And the message really is, it doesn't need to be the universe. It can be a person, a company. A group that's doing that really well in this market is Health Partners. I had met with them and was really supercharged by their power of one. They found one company that they brought in as a vendor, and then they found another company and they brought in as a vendor. And it's not the universe, it doesn't have to be, but it certainly made a universal difference to that one company. So, okay, so you can maybe give me some advice. So we've got our economic inclusion committee, and the intent is to be, you know, change starts with the head and the heart, how you think and feel, and ultimately needs to be the hands and the feet, which is the change work. So our inclusion committee is intended to be about the hands and the feet of change and intentional inclusion. And so we've got this whole body of work, we call it like curated networking or intentional networking, where we bring people together to say, Nancy, I want you to meet, Nancy's my friend. I want you to meet this friend and be in, mix up the people who are in the space together. And we're struggling to figure out like how to do that that's of value to the parties in the room. I'm really struggling with, and I hear this a lot from companies with the greatest of intentions who say, we declare publicly, we're investing so much money in this particular thing. But when it comes down to the practical application, the next call is to me to say, okay, now how do we do that? So I could use some thoughts from you about, you know, how can we create this intentional relationship building in our market and kind of replicate what you've done so there's real value and real relationship building on both sides? You know, what can that look like?
So there's a couple things. And I like what you said, okay, introducing people, building relationships. Many people have done it for me, like my board members. They've done it for me. What it looks like is intentionally showing up, which I have to say, not because I'm on your platform, but shout out to you for coming out to our event. But the small Black business vendor events twice a year, just show face. Mm-hmm. I cannot tell you how impactful it is for someone to just show up and clap. And that's a figure of speech, right? It's just coming and showing up. And you even have to spend a dollar, but coming and showing up and then seeing that business and sharing about it, it means the world to small Black-owned businesses. Mm-hmm. And that is actually, that's what it looks like. That's what actually makes a difference. And also, you know, a lot of people brag about connections, but what are you doing with those connections? And who are you helping with those connections? Are you able to introduce, you know, make room at tables? make room. You know, I've been known to bully my way into rooms because, you know, it's 2022. Who can you share with and say, hey, you know what? This person will be great on this board. Hey, you know what? You need to meet this person and see how you guys can connect. That's literally the ask. That's the ask. It's not $100,000. Yes, funding is one of the biggest issues. However, though, the funding can come through connections. And so it's vital.
I'm pausing just because I'm thinking. I'm going to invite you, Nancy, to come talk with us at the committee as we're wrestling through this, because sometimes I think we get lost in trying to think too big. One of the ways that I found our inclusion work to be really fun was through this. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this concept called Marnita's Table. It's something we learned about. We got some training a couple of years ago, which is simply about creating, having dinner together with different people and bringing different people in the room, right? Because, you know, you hang out with your girls and the goal is simply to invite one other friend into that group, right? So that, because you share ideas and networks and, I don't know, sales and recipes and business opportunities with the folks that you hang with. And if you can just bring one other person into that space to have those conversations with somebody new and create new friendships. It was absent any huge business, again, this huge big picture, but it was really organic and it just started with people getting to know one another. And I enjoyed that because I felt like it was accessible and I could do it without having to be smarter than I am or with more time than I have or whatever. So I'd like for us to continue this conversation to build out and basically learn from you. And just wanted to give you an FYI and the group listening as well. We're working on an online, like a digital employer hub, a portal of sorts, where BIPOC women-owned and veteran-owned businesses can like list their business. So we don't have these siloed cert lists in various cities or companies, but kind of an online platform for folks to find one another. Like what you've done, which is why we're going to hopefully start with all that you've done already with 72,000 companies. Let's make sure that they're available. So when someone wants to do business differently, they have a place to go to find new companies.
Yeah, absolutely. Right on my website. Now, I do have to say this. So there's another underlying issue that's happening right now. And I'm a woman, so I super appreciate this. But there's a really real big focus on Black women and Black women advancing. We're still forgetting our Black men.
Yeah.
Which are still struggling.
Right.
But I was talking to a few of my members, and they're in more often than not are being left out. Almost 8 out of 10. And I so appreciate the movement and the wave that's going on with Black women, because I'm going to take every opportunity that presents in front of me. However, it still doesn't help my household, our families rebuild and get out of the systematic racism that's going on without also elevating Black men. So that's another thing that's very problematic that I'm seeing out there. Is while we appreciate the wave of support, it's still excluding the usual head of that household, which it continues to systematically enhance the problems that we currently have.
Okay.
So that's something to marinate on. Okay. There's many, many movements going on. I can name maybe 20 at the top of my head, and every single one of them exclude Black men and Black men business owners. You know, we don't mind taking the lead and taking the charge. However, if they continue to be excluded from all movements and all support, it is going to continuously degrade Black families all around all around the country.
Okay. I appreciate that input. Thank you. So with that in mind, and then looking forward to what's ahead, you know, what's next for you? What's your growth model look like? What's your plan moving forward? How can we support you? And most importantly, how can people find out about you, and where can they find out about you?
Yeah, absolutely. So blackbusinessenterprises.org. If they click on directory, they can find 72,000 Black-owned businesses. They can type on, I think we have 22 states listed. So 22 states, they can find Black-owned businesses that most people will never hear about. And we've helped most of them get their website, logo, branding, LLC, get them fully registered, fully legal, so that they could actually have real businesses. So that's the exciting part. The support that we need is volunteers. You know, can we have one time a quarter where you come and speak, or can you show up and clap?
That's a great idea.
Yeah, you know, we have panel events. And you know, to a lot of people, it may seem, well, this is so, this is infancy. You know, why am I talking about financial literacy and the basics of credit? Well, that's where some of the people in the community are. So I'm meeting them where they are exactly and building them from there. So maybe we need someone that walks in the room and feels like, well, this is really behind the times, but now I'm an expert. Let me help because I've been through this. As far as support, of course, we always need funding. I have purchased over 300 laptops out of pocket. And because technology, there's people running their businesses just on their phone. And if I, by myself, can do something so monumental, imagine how much more we could do with a little bit of help. So a lot of the popular organizations get all the funding. I want people to really look out who are the organizations that are actually sitting with these business owners, holding their hands through it and making sure that they can actually open. Because we start at the very infancy. So we're not popular by any means, but we're the guys really, really hands-on doing the work. We have our headquarters downtown. Everyone is welcome. Anyone is welcome.
You have space. Let's talk about that space. Where is it? Which downtown? Good question.
Yeah. So we're in the North Loop, right next door to the Star Tribune. And we just have our space. Anybody can come and work out of there. We have our classes on the weekends. We have workshops, webinars. Everyone wants to be in person now. We do business showers, kind of like baby showers, but for businesses.
Oh my
So
gosh.
we help people start in their business and get a list of needs. And we have a shower for them. 89, well, 88% now of Black-owned businesses that we've helped don't have a brick and mortar. So we make it a point to give them space to do a grand opening so people can get to know them and then they can go virtual. And we also do events where people can come and vend. And we also let them do, launch parties, anything that they need to be able to have space and bring people together so they can see them face to face. This space, of course, it's another expense, but it was so important because people felt like they needed a safe space to go where they wouldn't, number one, be afraid, and number two, they would have the support needed to actually build on their business and meet new people. And I have to tell you, for the allies that have come through, I couldn't be more happy because not only do they come, but they will just come. And like I said, I will say this again and again and just clap. Good job, guys. This is awesome. And that's all they're looking for. Or they bring connections. Hey, have you heard of what's going on over here? It opens so many doors for us. It is so instrumental and so incredible that it makes everything worth it, all the hard work worth it when people actually walk in and see the hard work that's going into this. We have fixed credit for 2,200 people in that space. We have collective classes, groups, and just we go through, okay, let's call the bureaus, let's write a letter, let's pay off your debt, let's figure out what to do. That is priceless. So for people to come in, this year I had over 50 sponsors, and a lot of them were the banks. And that was them actually getting up and standing up and clapping for us by saying, hey, we're seeing the work that you're doing, and in turn, we want to support you back.
I have been so impressed by the banks in this region investing and being really intentional about that, and creative and brave. The banking industry is not by nature brave, you know, and I've seen it here and it's really exciting. And I'm glad that you have experienced it as well. I have a question for you about, so let's make sure everybody knows how to find you. So it's give me the website again.
It's blackbusinessenterprises.org.
And what's your Facebook page called?
Black Business Enterprises.
So you can go on Facebook, folks, and find out about all that they're doing. It's very cool. I've been on there as well. And I've a couple final questions for you, and it has to do with what you're learning as a leader. You've been doing this for 7 years now. So
Plus.
7+, and it just started because you have a heart for helping people. I just think leadership is so important, and it's something that's often misunderstood. And these last couple of years, especially, have been, you know, leadership's been critical. What would you say are key traits or actions for strong leadership right now?
I'll have to speak for myself, and I will say I found my voice this year, and I would say it's okay to be brave and to speak exactly what I feel. And it's okay to be a bit defiant when it comes to infecting change. It is okay to not be politically correct and say it exactly as you see it. And it's okay to correct behaviors within myself and within others as well. And it's okay for people to not feel or believe in the same thing. And just learning from others, but also leading by example so that people can learn from the kindness that I display. I believe that that's what's helping me become a better leader, just understanding the world, being flexible, but also being very, very bold about my needs and speaking up so that I can speak up for others as well.
Really, really impressive. Thank you for that, Nancy.
Thank you.
We run out of time, unfortunately. We could keep talking, so we're just gonna have to have breakfast again soon. But I wanted everyone to get to know you, get introduced to you at least. And thank you so much for chatting with me. I appreciate your time. And there are no words for the gratitude in terms of how you're shaping the future of Black business and how we can figure out how to lean in and be a value add and celebrate what you're doing. So thank you really for your time.
Thank you for having me, and thanks for allowing me space to speak. I really appreciate it.
Well, absolutely, Nancy. It was my pleasure. And thank you, all of you, for joining us for Bee's Table Talk. We do have more conversations in the weeks ahead, speaking to more business leaders in the greater MSP region and hearing from them on how their companies and their own mindsets actually are adapting to the new normal ahead of us. So thanks to all, and we will see you in the trenches.